Are you a business owner or entrepreneur who's had great success in the business world, and now you want to launch a speaking career to share your message with the world? If that's you, then listen up. 25-year speaking industry veteran Brett Ridgway has released his latest special report, Three Key Things Entrepreneurs Must Master to Build a Profitable Speaking Business. To pick up your copy, go to brettridgway.com/freebie. Welcome to the Spotlight on Speaking Show with Brett Ridgway, where you'll learn the keys to building a profitable speaking business from speaking industry pros. Each week, we interview a great guest who will share his or her speaking journey, identify what their keys to success have been, and highlight some critical mistakes they've made along the way that you'll want to avoid. Be sure to visit our website at spotlightonspeaking.com. And while you're there, subscribe to us via your favorite network. Now, sit back, tune in, and get ready to meet this week's guest.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Spotlight on Speaking Show. I'm your host, Brett Ridgway, and I'm excited to have as my guest today, LeRon Barton. LeRon is a writer, author, and speaker that has graced stages all around the world. He's a three-time TEDx speaker who has given talks at universities and companies, but also has a stutter. LeRon has been stuttering since the age of six. With this handicap, he often sat in silence due to being afraid of ridicule. People made fun of him and the way he spoke. It was not until LeRon was asked to speak in front of an audience that he faced his fear. In this episode of our show, we're going to talk about having a stutter, how LeRon used his fear to fuel his speaking, the business of speaking, and suggestions for up-and-coming speakers. LeRon, welcome to the Spotlight on Speaking Show.
Thank you very much for having me, Brett. I really appreciate it.
So, certainly you deal with something that most speakers never deal with. So let's go back into your journey a little bit, LeRon, and talk about what was the pull or the push or whatever it was that got you up in front of that room for the first time.
Brett, that's a really interesting and really good question. For me, speaking was, it always kind of came relatively easy. I mean, being able to express a point, I mean, being able to illuminate on a subject and sort of expound on things. I mean, I'm at my core, I'm a writer. So, you know, writing is my favorite thing that I do. It's the best thing that I know how to do. And I just felt like speaking kind of grew out of that. I mean, I'm a very inquisitive person. I love a great conversation, and I love listening to people. So I guess that if you combine all of those together, that's what kind of pushed me into speaking. You know, I started out as we would do spoken word poetry. You know, I haven't done spoken word in a while, but, you know, getting up in front of a crowd, you know, reciting poetry, it could be a little scary to some, but for me, it was really exciting. And from there, I just wanted to keep doing it, Brett, you know, and that's what got me there.
How many years are we going back, LeRon, to that first public speaking experience?
Wow. So I believe the very first time that I gave a talk was possibly in 2017. It was when I was living in the San Francisco Bay Area. So I used to go to a church called Glide Church. For those who don't know what that is, it's a world famous non-denominational church. It welcomes everyone, black, white, gay, straight, short, tall. And it's a very inclusive environment. And so I was a part of a racial justice group. I was actually the co-chair. And I was asked to give a quick 5-minute talk about racial injustice from the perspective of the black man in America. And so the first time I gave the talk, Brett, I bombed so hard. Like, I stuttered. I was just like, I was absolutely horrible. And so I'd never forget this day. As I'm walking off stage, Michael Franti from Spearhead said, "Hey, bro, you did a good job." And I'm thinking to myself, like, dude, I suck. So you know, I guess like later that day or a couple of days after, I told myself, I was like, man, maybe this public speaking thing just ain't for you. But I've always been the type of person where I'm not going to let someone beat me. You know, I'm not going to let something beat me down, defeat me. And so another opportunity came. And Brett, what I did was I practiced. Like I must have practiced that speech over and over and over. And so by getting that second chance, I was able to give a better presentation, give a better talk. And that just gave me a lot of confidence. Now, the fact that I have a stutter definitely was a deterrent to getting up on stage. But, you know, what I realized is like, that's just another obstacle, man. I mean, it's just something that I'm going to have to deal with. Like, I have a stutter. It's not going away. It's a part of me. So, you know, we're going to have to just roll on with it.
So, as you mentioned, LaRon, you're a writer primarily. So, and I noticed in your, you know, your bio that you've written for a number of different publications and venues, yes, sir, and all that stuff. So when you speak, what is your go-to topic when you're speaking on stage?
So interesting question. So my most famous talk is my first TEDx talk. It's how I overcame the fear of my stutter. Okay. It's, you know, it kind of just blew the doors open for me. Nowadays, I talk primarily about race. You know, I talk about mass incarceration. I also talk about the power of sharing your story. I think that as a writer and as a speaker, one of my responsibilities is to encourage and help other people tell their story, help other people get a platform, because I believe that when everyone has a chance to talk about themselves and where they're from, the world becomes more colorful, if you will. It becomes more well-rounded, no pun intended. But yeah, so, you know, those, I would say like those three topics.
All right, so let's dive into the whole area of stuttering a little bit more, because yes, there are certainly people out there in the world that know they have a message they should share with the world, but they don't know how to overcome that fear of speaking because they have a stutter. So how did you overcome it?
Well, I have never overcame my stutter, because my stutter will not go away. So I've been stuttering since the age of 5 or 6, right? You mentioned there's people around the world that stutter. There's about 75 million people around the world that stutter. So that's 1% of the population. And there's a myriad of reasons why people stutter. My stutter, from what I've been told, came because of there was an issue with my tongue and the skin connected, something like that. But my father stutters and my brother stutters. I happen to have, I believe, a more pronounced stutter than, you know, out of the three of us. And so I never overcame a stutter. I just overcame the fear of stuttering, because, Brett, it doesn't matter what I do, I'm going to stutter regardless, right? So you have this almost certainty in front of you. You know that it's going to happen. So are you going to let that stop you from doing what you want to do? It's like, we're all going to die, right?
Yeah.
You know, death is certain. So if you have that certainty, is that going to stop you from living? So the key for me is to not worry about the ridicule and not worry about me stuttering. Like I believe that I was so worried about stuttering that I stopped myself from speaking out on things that I should have spoken out on, or that opportunities that I should have taken. And to be honest with you, also, Brett, like, people really didn't care. You know, like, if we got down to the brass tacks of it, like, I cared more about it than people did. And that was my perception, is people, I was like, oh my God, yo, you know, someone's gonna laugh at me. I mean, yeah, you know, I got laughed at. Cool in the gang. You know, people made fun of me. You know, people smile like a little giggle when I stutter. But I mean, look at what I'm doing now. So I credit that to, I mean, obviously to God, but also to not letting that stop me and just realizing that it is what it is. You know, we're all not perfect. You know, we all have something that we're dealing with, and it's up to us to not let that stop us from living our lives.
So, LaRon, do you consider yourself to be primarily a keynote speaker, or do you also sell from the platform or just use it for business building purposes? Or is it all about keynoting?
For me, I would probably say I'm primarily a keynote speaker. I also do workshops as well as I'm getting into doing fireside chats. Earlier this month for Black History Month, I was a part of a fireside chat. That was really awesome. And next month, I'm going to be doing a fireside chat at South by Southwest. So I'm really excited about that opportunity.
So as a keynote speaker, LaRon, how do you measure whether your speech, your talk has been a success or not?
Very good question. So I'm what I would call more of an interactive speaker, right? So if you listen to like a lot of keynote speakers, they just talk at you. They're just like, whoa. And you know, if that's your thing, cool. You know, if you're effective, great. But I like to get the crowd involved. Hey, you know, Brett, what's your thoughts on this? Or, you know, and, you know, do you have any experience on this? I like to hear from everyone. So it's a keynote, but it's also kind of a facilitator in a way. And I think that the way that I measure success is that the feedback that I get after, you know, I mean, not every, like every speaker, I'm like no speaker has 100% success rate. You know, I think that there's been, I can definitely think off the top of my head, there's been two speeches that were not received well. They were like, oh my God, you're like, why do we hire this kid? What's going on? But it's like, you know, everyone's not going to bat 1,000, man. And you just have to just sort of push on.
All right. So as a keynote speaker, give me your three best tips for being successful as a keynote speaker.
Okay. Number one for me, and you know, these are things that have worked for LaRon Barton. I don't know if that'll work for anyone else. Preparation. So I prepare a lot. Like I never wing things when it comes to talks, because when I've done that, Brett, I've came off sloppy. So what I want to do is I want to know as much about the subject, as much about the where I'm speaking, what type of topic, how they just the crowd, the environment. I like to talk pretty slow, and I'm just myself. You know, I don't try to be anyone else. I think it's really important that we embrace who we are. A lot of times people feel like, oh, I'm supposed to talk this way. I'm supposed to stand like this. My tone is supposed to be like this. I have to come off as very stiff and stodgy and professional. I'm just like, look, you're going to do your very best when you are comfortable with who you are. So if you are in a comfort zone, it's like when you listen to basketball players, like, for example, one of my favorite players of all time is Allen Iverson. And in the 2001 finals championship, I'm a big Iverson guy. 2001 championship, Philadelphia 76ers, Los Angeles Lakers, he had an amazing game. And he said, man, the bucket felt like the ocean, like I couldn't miss. And that's because he was comfortable. He was in his rhythm. So he was just being him. You know, Kyrie Irving said the same thing, the 2016 Golden State Warriors, Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, he was just, he felt good. So I believe that when you are comfortable, when you are being yourself, you will feel good and you will be a very, you will be a very potent speaker.
All right. So I've got some more ground I want to cover with you, LaRon. But before we do, let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur who's had great success in the business world, and now you want to launch a speaking career to share your message with the world? If that's you, then listen up. 25-year speaking industry veteran Brett Ridgway has released his latest special report, three key things entrepreneurs must master to build a profitable speaking business. To pick up your copy, go to brettridgeway.com/freebie.
And we are back with my guest, Laron Barton. So, Laron, one of my favorite questions I always ask my guest is, okay, kind of bare your soul a little bit here, buddy, and share a mistake you made along the way of your speaking path that maybe was embarrassing at the time, a little red-faced, but a valuable lesson was learned, and it would be something that you would highly advise an up-and-coming speaker not to do.
Yeah, man, there's been a couple of things. I guess for me, the expectation of the talk, right? You know, what are you supposed to deliver? What is this talk for? I did a talk for a wellness organization, and I was actually contracted through them to work with another company. And I thought that the talk was this, but they wanted it to be that. And I was interrupted halfway through the talk. Okay, so when are we going to get to this though? And I was like, okay, you know, and I thought that I thought that I did well, but wasn't the case. So be very clear on what you're supposed to do as far as what the talk is supposed to be, what the client wants you to deliver, and just have clarity about it, you know, because you don't want to walk into a situation where you're presenting this and they want that. Also, business wise, man, I would say be very clear on what you want in the speaker contract. You know, if you're working with a net 30, if you're working with payment is due right after the talk, if you want certain things such as promotion, if you want testimonials, like, you know, if you want a deposit, all that has to be done before the talk. So that was something that I learned early. I'm like, okay, my business isn't right. You know, the client hasn't paid me in 30, 60 days. I'm like, what's going on? And, you know, and I'm having to like nag the client, like, hey, you know, I haven't been paid. What's going on? I'm like, you know, I've done my work. And another thing, another third thing. And I didn't mind this at first, but in retrospect, I wouldn't do it again. Is like, if you're going to go over your time, make sure you're paid for your time. Brett, I'll give you an example. And again, you know, I had a great time with this client. It was a university and it was supposed to be a 1 hour talk, ended up being 2.5 hours. I only got paid for 1 hour. So it's like, you know, you have to have boundaries and say, hey, you know, if I'm going to go over, then you're going to pay me for this.
Well, the question, you know, is, did you go over because you weren't efficient on your time or because they kept throwing additional questions at you that caused it to expand?
You know what? It was one of those things where it's like the conversation was so good, right? That I just expanded like the time. It just went from an hour, hour and a half. And I didn't mind. But when I talked to a colleague of mine who's much more seasoned in speaking, she laughed at me and she got a little mad. She was like, Laron, they got way more than what they paid you for. Why did you do that? And I'm like, I just, you know, but I was green. You know, now I wouldn't do that though. Now I'm like, okay, listen, if I'm going to go over, then you're going to have to pay me an additional. So when it comes to speaking, you have to treat it like a business. Like, this is a business. This is not, you know, charity. I mean, even when you do what I call pro bono, you know, you still have to get compensated some way for it. Yep. I mean, there's just the business side, Brett. I can go on and on about that. But, you know, that's stuff that I've learned.
All right. So I'm going to give you a couple minutes now, Laron, to tell people a little bit more about what all you do and how they can get involved in your world if they so choose. And I think I saw something about you. Maybe you have something new offer in terms of helping people get a TEDx talk ready.
100%. So again, my name is Laron Barton. I'm a writer, author, speaker. You can reach me at www.laronbarton.com. I am a keynote speaker. I'm a facilitator. I'm a workshop facilitator. I also do fireside chats. I talk about race, mass incarceration, the power of telling your story, being Black in tech, as well as stuttering. I am also a TEDx speaker coach. So I have done 3 TEDxes, and I've also been on an organizational team for a TEDx. So I've been on both sides of the aisle. What I do is I help people get TEDxes, as well as I help people write the speeches, come up with the concepts, rehearse the speech, and also market the TEDx. In addition to that, Brett, I'm also a speech writer. So if you need help writing a speech, if you have a keynote, if you want to do a fancy pants toast, I'm your man. So, yeah.
All right. Well, Ron, I want to thank you so much for being my guest today on this episode of the Spotlight on Speaking Show. I wish you continued success in everything that you're doing. For all my listeners out there, thank you so much for joining us today. As always, I wish you the greatest of success in all that you do. And may this year be your greatest year yet. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Brett.
This has been the Spotlight on Speaking Show with Brett Ridgway. Be sure to join us every week as we interview speaking industry pros and have them share their best tips for building a profitable speaking business. Until next week, thank you for tuning in. And remember to visit our website at spotlightonspeaking.com so you can enjoy even more great episodes like this one. While you're here, be sure to subscribe via your favorite network. We look forward to seeing you next time on the Spotlight on Speaking Show. Until then, our sincere best wishes to you for the greatest of success as you work to build your own profitable speaking business.